your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Space time!
Oh yeah, time and space. What is it?
Who knows? Welcome, everyone, to our bi-weekly segment, Spaced Out, where we talk about space. The wonderful Josh Aldeke from Te Whatu Stardome. Josh, can you read us?
I can read you loud and clear.
Loud and clear. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm good, good. How are you?
I am wonderful. It's been some clear skies recently. I'm sure that you've been out at night gazing a little bit.
Oh, you know, I feel like every time we talk, I'm looking out the window and it's like cloudy and it looks really horrible.
Yeah.
It looks so nice tonight. I'm just thinking it's going to be a beautifully crisp, awesome night.
Yeah.
So very, very excited.
The moon's a bit crested at the moment as well, isn't it?
I'm just looking at it. Yeah, she's waxing. She's waxing, definitely.
Yeah. Well, you've got some topics for us. It's been a big week for spaceflight, I guess.
Yeah, lots of spaceflight happening in the last couple of weeks.
So starting us off, China has sent some astronauts to its space station for a big long stay. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so China, they've just sent up their next crew to their space station, which is not unusual. They use it about every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But the crew is a little bit different. So first of all, one of the crew members is the first citizen from Hong Kong, so it's always good to get, you know, new people heading to space. They're actually going up there not for 6 months, which is the usual state. They're actually going to be staying there for over a year.
Wow.
So this is kind of China's first attempt at a long duration crewed mission to a space station. So, you know, they're joining Russia and America who have done that before, and now it's China's attempt to do a long duration stay in space.
Yeah, so those long duration stays in space obviously double the length of what they're currently doing. What kind of effects does that have on the human body?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the point of these studies, is to, you know, what is this going to do with our bodies? We're not adapted to be in space. What are the negative or even potentially positive health effects that it's, you know, going to affect us?
Mm.
And one of the biggest things is that, you know, when you're in a zero-G environment, you're essentially floating. So your body is not using the same muscles. You're not using the same bones. You don't have the same pressure. You don't have blood pooling, you know, in the lower half of your body because of gravity. So there are all these things, like often astronauts get vision loss with, you know, blood rushing to their head. They get nausea. They get essentially what's akin to osteoporosis. They get really brittle bones. They get muscle loss. The soles of their feet get really soft because they're not walking on anything. So there's a huge amount of negative effects, but it's also the psychological effect, you know.
Yep.
Being away from home, being away from Earth, being away from everyone that you know in a really small confined space for a year, you know, that affects people. So the reason we do these and, you know, in space stations is to, you know, figure out when we send people to the moon and to Mars eventually, those missions are going to be for years and years and years often. So we need to, you know, figure out when we do those missions, how can we do them to make sure that, you know, the people are okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, this again, it feeds back into the new space race of China and America wanting to go to the moon. They're both wanting to go to Mars eventually. And China has said, hey, we want to do it. So we're now going to do those long duration missions to figure out how we can do it.
Wow. Wow. Moving on to, I guess, the other side of the globe, we've got SpaceX. They've just launched their 12th test flight of Starship, and it was the first launch of their new V3 rocket. What's the deal with that?
Yeah, so they were first launch of the year for them for Starship. This is their 12th flight of the giant Starship rocket, which we've seen fly a few times. But it's the first of their new, what they're calling the V3 rocket, or the version 3. So it's essentially, it's built on all of the successes, but also all of the failures. The rocket is bigger, it looks quite different, there's a lot of physical changes, also a lot of the hardware and the software. And they launched for the first time, so yeah, I'm not sure as to how successful the mission was. I mean, one of the rockets, the booster, didn't make it. It exploded before it was, you know, attempting to land over the ocean. But the upper stage seemed to do okay. It went around the world. It landed in the Indian Ocean, survived reentry. That's always a good sign.
Yep.
But it's a seemingly rapid process of developing this rocket, but you know, I think I look at the longer term goal as, you know, this rocket again is meant to be used for the Artemis program. They want to land people on the moon in 2 years.
Yeah.
And I just do not think that this rocket is going to be rated to take people to the moon in 2 years, because, you know, even though this is their 12th flight, this first launch in 2023, so that's already 3 years of development, and we're still not yet there yet. So I'm not sure if they're going to be able to use this rocket for Artemis.
Yeah, we talked about this last week with the sort of mini space war happening between Blue Origin and SpaceX for that moon lander. And I understand that SpaceX is proposing almost a modified Starship for their moon lander. So you're feeling that they're sort of a little bit behind here.
Yeah, and it's not that I think they're behind in developing that rocket. I mean, they have been launching it fairly frequently, but with the timeline that NASA wants this thing to be ready, I don't think they're going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, they want to do Artemis 3, testing it in low Earth orbit next year. And, I don't think that they're going to have that rocket ready to put people into it and to, you know, test the systems. I think it would be 5 years in the future, but, you know, that's pushing us into the 2030s. And I think China will be on the moon by then. So I think the alternative of going to Blue Origin might seem more likely, and that's probably going to become more clear in the next few months.
Starship is sort of their big venture at the moment. What's the end goal here for this rocket?
I mean, the end goal, and, you know, what's been stated by Elon time and time again, is that he wants the rocket to be rapidly reusable, but it's for the goal of colonizing Mars, of sending, you know, people off to Mars to have a permanent and self-sustaining colony on Mars. And, you know, I'm not necessarily against that idea, but do I think it's a good idea? No. I don't think anyone realistically wants to live on Mars.
Yeah.
Not a nice place.
Yeah.
We should explore, and we should go there, and I think we should have the science and the exploration part of it. But, you know, this idea of building a city on Mars because it's the next, you know, natural step into space, it's just not realistic.
Yeah.
I mean, Mars is bloody horrible. Everything on Mars is going to kill you.
Yeah.
You can't grow food. You're so far from Earth, you can't get help. You can't breathe the air. The radiation is like, there's nothing nice about it. So I think this, you know, pseudo billionaire idea of, you know, colonies on Mars and, you know, the next getaway it's unrealistic.
Mm.
Although the goal of exploring Mars is realistic, and I think that's what we should focus on rather than the billionaires wanting to find a holiday destination.
And finally, talking about Mars, we talked about this last week where Psyche, the probe, was going to make a deep space maneuver where it slings its way around Mars on its way to an asteroid, and it sounds like it's been successful.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was the day after we last spoke, it was doing the flyby.
Yeah.
But yeah, it completed it. It was successful, so it didn't encounter any problems. And from what NASA said, it basically performed really well. All of the systems and the cameras and the equipment was working. Took a bunch of really cool photos and, you know, beamed those back to Earth. And, you know, there's not a huge amount of science from this. You know, it's really just a flyby. We're just kind of changing the course of the spacecraft. But, I mean, what's always cool is that, you know, when you get an exploration of a planet further out than Earth, you get photos that you do not see from our perspective on Earth. For example, like the photo that it took of Mars, you see a crescent. You see it as a crescent shape. You know, you see Mars going through phases. And, you know, we don't see that from Earth because Mars is further out than we are from the sun. So we only from Earth ever see the full daytime side. You know, we don't see Mars go through phases like the moon.
Yeah.
So it's always kind of cool when you get, you know, these distant deep space probes taking photos and, you know, you see crescent Mars is going through phases in Jupiter and kind of, it's a reminder that those things, everything goes through phases like the moon do, you know, and it's cool to see Mars from a perspective that we don't have on Earth.
Yeah. We've got one more here, and this one's from a texter. The texter wants to know a little bit about quantum foam. That comes from Glenn from New Plymouth. Josh, do you know anything about quantum foam?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a quantum astrophysicist or anything. My very basic understanding of quantum foam is that it's a theoretical idea that things on a really, really small scale, which is smaller than the Planck length, which is kind of the limits of how small something can be. At that scale, there are ideas that space, or the space in that space, is bumpy rather than smooth. As to how we would confirm that, I have no idea. you know, you're getting into like particle physics.
Yep.
You know, this is stuff that like people at CERN do when they're smashing particles together. So a lot of this is like beyond our reality. It's very interesting physics, but I could not confirm or deny its existence.
And you've got a bit coming up soon at Te Whatu Stardome as well. Let us know a bit about that.
Yeah, we've got our final Zizzy show is this Friday, and there's only a few tickets left. If anyone wants to come see that, it's a super cool buzzy show. Final one is this Friday, and we actually have the creator of the show who's going to be here.
That's cool.
It'll be cool that we're just taking some questions and having a bit of a call about the show. Surprisingly, I can't believe it's almost June, but next week is June, so our Matariki season is starting. So our first Matariki show is right after King's Birthday on the Tuesday, and that'll be running for the next few months. So if you want to learn more about Matariki, come down to Stardome from next week.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us for another week, Josh. That was Spaced Out with Josh Ardicky from Te Whatu Stardome. Massive thanks to Stardome and to you, Josh, as well.
Thanks, Josh.
No worries. Speak in 2 weeks.
See you then.
Bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.